Do you know what, Claire? It's not raining.
It's not raining today, and we found a quiet corner. Well, it is for the moment, anyway. It's finally not too windy, and we're sat on a bench, and it's reasonably warm, and there are slug trails all around us, a little bit of plastic litter, which we'll take with us and put in the bin, and there's greenery all around us. So, welcome to the podcast. If you're picturing the scene where we are, do you see what I did there?
Oh, these segues you make are just phenomenal.
I've got a flipping tree bush thing in my hair, though.
I mean, do you know what? I think the outdoors has so much to give, but the little midgy things are something that I just feel I don't like. How do you feel about a midgy?
This is not what this podcast is about.
No, I know. Let's get to the topic.
Stay on message, Mangan.
I know, I always do, but you take me to... If you set me in a studio, there'd be nothing to grab my attention, but you take me into the wild.
Look, guys, sometimes we just need to find, you know, a park bench with a sketch pad and pencil and sit with your headphones and a nice cup of takeaway coffee and listen to the bird tweeting above you and just ponder. And that's where we're on this subject today, of picturing a slimmer you. And we're talking about, like, kind of this thing around visualization. Maybe it's a term that you've heard about, but you're not really sure how to really kind of tap into it. We're talking about how to kind of use it in your day-to-day, like little ways that might kind of trip you up, be that like the coffee shop, the pub, you know, where your triggers and danger zones might be. But also, like, in where are you going? Like, what do you want life to look like when you reach your target weight, your dream weight? So that's why we're going to embrace a bit of drawing. Neither me or Anna are artists, and perhaps you're not. But just get the colourful pens, maybe even just a biro or pencil if you're not feeling too confident. Get a big eraser if you need it. And together we're going to kind of sketch these tools and things that we think can help us. So... I think that's it.
You say you're not an artist, but oh my God, have you seen your paintings? I can't draw a stick man.
Well, I look forward to seeing that in a moment.
Yeah, exactly. No pressure.
So anyway, whilst we slip a bit more on our coffee and our diet cola
drink.
Type drink, then you can listen in to the inbox.
You have one new message.
Hi, I'm Sophie and I live in Stoneborough. I belong to Jane Slim and Well Group in Wool. Cue the ukuleles!
Ah, thank you, Sophie. You sound as chirpy as chips there, is what I was thinking. I love the very long pause there on
the ukulele.
It's like, you know, like if you had to pay per second to leave a voicemail message.
Oh, yes.
You know, it cost you a lot of money, that one.
Wouldn't it?
Worth it. But we appreciate your message, so thank you very much, Sophie. September, we've already been talking about clearing your slate. We've been talking about kind of checking out your pantry, bringing spice to your life. You know, now we're kind of listening to beeps in the background. No, now we're talking about like this visualization thing, which is a popular term, and we are not qualified visualizationalists.
Are we not?
I don't think so.
Oh, God, I didn't get that memo.
But look, everybody is looking for just those ways to kind of, you know, kind of stop us in our tracks and put a pause in place when we're kind of going down roads where we perhaps shouldn't, and it could potentially sabotage ourselves. And a big part of this is like behavioural change.
Yeah, or we do things that we almost don't realise we're doing. There's such ingrained habits that we need to break them in order to be able to be successfully or successful slimmers. So it's something that, you know, a lot of sportsmen use or sports professionals use, and it can really help in terms of weight loss. And it's such a simple thing to do. I think the word visualization sounds like you need to have gone to uni and got a professorship, doesn't it? But actually, it's such a simple technique that can really help. I've used it so much in my weight loss journey, so much. I've used it in also a lot of things with anxiety, like to prep myself going into situations. And all it really takes is, I would say, practice and carving out some time to do it and allowing your head the space to believe that you can do it. Because sometimes we put blockers in, like, oh, I'm not that type of person that does visualization. Do you know what I mean? But actually opening your mind so that you can set yourself up to go into a situation that you maybe find difficult, with food, with alcohol, with activity, with confrontation, whatever it is, so that you know once you get there, you've got a strategy that will just roll off the tongue. It's fascinating. I love it. I love it when we talk about it in group, a member goes and does it, and then they come back and they're like, I didn't buy the cake, or I didn't drink the wine, or do you know what? I said no to the burger and I ate my Cinnamon World chips. So it is something that is very easy to put in place. There is a really great feature on the website all about picturing a slimmer you, and all about visualization and kind of a step-by-step guide on how you can do it. So
yeah, and you know what? We thought this would be an interesting theme to kind of bring in, because obviously Harriet mentioned this on her podcast, which was Clean Slate, a couple of weeks ago. And we thought, let's go a bit deeper. She talked about being in a supermarket and stood in the middle of the aisle with something in her hands and stopping, to the point where, for her, because she was quite new in the you know, kind of getting it ingrained, a shop assistant said, are you okay?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And she was working through that process. I mean, that makes it sound like quite a kind of mechanical, methodical kind of thing, but eventually we start to kind of do these things a lot quicker.
Yeah, it's practicing in your mind the situation, and I would say for me the more detail I get into, the better it is. So for example, I know that coffee shops, we've talked about this before, are quite dangerous.
We had it this morning, didn't we, when I got here early to meet you, and I needed something to eat, and there really wasn't any great choices in that coffee shop. So I said to you, I'm going to walk down to a supermarket a little bit further down, and I'm going to make a better choice there. And I did.
Yeah. And again, it's knowing that actually I know if I go into a coffee shop, what I really do want to do is come out with the coffee and, you know, get the weight loss I want. But sometimes what happens is the subconscious part of me that really likes cake can shout so loud that before I know it, I'll have a piece of carrot cake comes out of my mouth. So it's about knowing your danger zones and having a plan for how you need to react in that situation. So the one that I used to have to practice a lot was when I used to go out with my girlfriends, and we used to get into rounds, and it would be about buying Prosecco. And I knew for me, if I start drinking Prosecco, not only is it really high in sins, but it was the floodgates for me. Once I started on Prosecco, the shots would come, then the pizza, then the chips with garlic, mayo and all sorts of stuff. So I really learnt to practice in my head, and I would do it in the run-up to going out. So maybe 3 or 4 days before we went out, I'd practice every day. I'd go up to the bar, I'd see the bar, I'd see my beautiful best friend next to me, I'd hear the words, her ordering a bottle of Prosecco with 4 glasses, and I'd say, no, vodka Diet Coke for me. And actually, it was that practicing so that when I got there, it wasn't difficult, it just came out of my mouth. And no one questioned my choice, whereas I think what would happen a lot for me is I'd have the fear that my friend would turn around and go, no, get on the Prosecco, Anna, you can't have it. And actually I just said vodka Diet Coke and it was fine, but I had to practice it. I had to get in the detail of the words coming out of my mouth, seeing myself with that drink, seeing her with the bottle of Prosecco and giving a glass back. And the more I practiced that, it just got to a habit where they wouldn't even ask if I wanted Prosecco anymore, because they knew it was vodka Diet Coke for me. So it's knowing whatever situation you are in, it's thinking about how you want the outcome to be different. So, you know, it may be that, I don't know, you like ordering a dessert. We like a dessert, don't we, Claire?
Yes, absolutely.
And actually, do you know what? It's getting into the habit that, you know, you want to lose 2-3 pounds that week. Actually, I'm going to the restaurant, I don't ask for the dessert menu. That was the biggest change in my visualization, was not seeing myself going through the dessert menu and salivating at the sticky toffee pudding. And
sometimes I'd look at that first.
Oh my God, of course, yeah. And then actually just seeing myself sat at the table with a lovely coffee or a mint tea and enjoying that, and actually seeing the joy that I had by doing that. But I had to practice all of those things. And I think what's a really important thing to recognize is we have to tell ourselves what's in it for us. So it's really important that you understand that the subconscious needs those feelings of being in control and feeling confident. And actually, by practicing this, the more you do it, the more it becomes just habit. Like now, I would never, you know, in the in a coffee shop, when I, you know, I might order a hot chocolate. No, it's my four sins. And they say, do you want whipped cream? I'd never say yes to whipped cream now. It's just something that wouldn't come into my psyche. But previously, before the visualization, I'd be like, whipped cream, can you add a bit of extra, some sprinkles on top? Do you know what I mean? So again, it's really thinking about your individual situation and thinking of it as like a mental rehearsal.
Yeah, and I kind of like, you know, within group, people come to, you know, with situations like, I'm going out for my friend's birthday on Saturday, or I'm going on holiday, and I know that we always like go to this particular restaurant when we're on holiday. So I kind of think it's quite interesting, that dynamic within the group, and I guess on the online forum, where people kind of pose these kind of questions, and then the community within Slimming World kind of help put together
they've rehearsed
solutions.
The situation with them, and it's a really interesting thing to see in group how when people come back and they practice it, how much easier it seems to be for them. So it's definitely a technique I use in my own life for a lot of things, not just weight loss. It's empowering.
That is really true, I think, because these are tools that really kind of help on your Slimming World journey, there's no doubt about it. But it starts like kind of creeping into different things. Like I was saying to you, when I hit a hurdle in work, or if I know I've got a difficult conversation with a client when, you know, I'm running my own business, then I use visualization as a way to kind of talk myself through, like with positive mindset, to kind of make me, you know, rather than take myself down that spiral of this is going to be really difficult, oh my god, I'm going to cry, I'm like, they're not going to give me what I want, or they're going to shout at me, or they're going to tell me off. I take myself imagining, so how was it? Yeah, was it great? Oh, brilliant. And then coming, putting the phone down and being, having a, I use it for those kind of things. I think you mentioned about visualization for sports people.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us have kind of really been up in our body magic this year. You know, if you've been following us over summer with It's a Kind of Magic campaign, hopefully you're keeping up some of that. That, I think, is really interesting. And this phrase that Harriet used, just a little further.
I loved that.
I think really visualizing yourself, you know, I could never have imagined myself getting back to run 5 kilometres, but now I'm going to parkruns and doing that. And then even the thought, sometimes I struggle, could I ever visualize myself running a half marathon?
Oh my god, now you're talking.
Oh, a little boy here has got he's got his bike.
Oh,
we've got a phone ringing. Who's going to be on the phone?
Who is it?
This is an exciting interruption, isn't it?
Did you visualise this?
I did not visualise this.
I didn't
visualise
this.
I want to answer the phone for her.
Nana can't hold the bike, love. Why have this conversation all the time?
Well,
welcome to the life and times of Claire and Anna on the local bench.
Anything can happen in our park.
Do you remember
bench?
We were on a bench a few years ago, maybe last year, and we sat on a bench where two ladies regularly sat, didn't they? And we were there.
I know. I see them still.
Oh my gosh. They've gone. They'd be glad to know the boy is on his mummy's shoulders. And
I think that's a typical mum where she has to know how to carry the bike and the child.
I mean,
and she didn't answer the phone.
That,
so
that is part of parenthood I did not visualise, was the carrying of the paraphernalia.
Anyway, back around to it. This visualisation thing, I think, it's very powerful. The other thing I've used it for is kind of when you're at the start of a journey and you feel very lost and you feel like, you know, you can all you can see is despair. I don't mean to be dramatic about that, but there's definitely times where
dramatic.
I felt nothing but despair. I kind of use like writing and drawing as a way to kind of picture myself, and you use these statements like I am.
Yes, so a positive affirmation rather than and you know,
rather than I will be or I want to, you kind
person.
Of say I am, like you know, the phrase like I am a healthy and active person. There was times, you know, when 5 stone plus ago, I would not have imagined myself saying that I am and truly believing it. But over the time, you kind of build in these kind of statements into your life. And sometimes they just kind of pop into my head. Like I think I've talked before about changing, rather than working towards goals, thinking about what your identity is. You want your identity to be like, I want my identity to be that I'm a healthy kind of active person. which means when I do go in the coffee shop that then your I'm going to behave like a healthy, active person. And I have to say, I have mega struggled with visualising how my life is going to be in 5 years' time.
Oh, I don't.
But I think it's important because it kind of shows you what's important to you.
Yeah.
And what are you working towards? What really matters? Like, if you think about someone, when I was doing therapy, and it was, I've done lots of different types of therapy.
Oh, me too, babe.
But the one I did was about acceptance therapy.
Oh, right.
And the first thing he asked me to do, which took me 5 weeks to do, was to pick a date, like maybe 10 years in the future, and write a letter to yourself now.
Oh my gosh.
Pretending you were that person. And so I picked like Christmas Day in 10 years' time.
That's scary.
It makes you feel really sad, actually. But it was, it was like just a Christmas Day, and I'd gone upstairs, and like my family, like Matt and kids, are downstairs. We've all got matching pajamas. And we'd had a really nice day, and we'd seen family, and you know, we'd been out for a run in the morning together, and I talked about, like, you know, where my health was at, where my family's health was, about, like, finances, about my job, about what I did creatively. And, yeah, it was so hard to write that letter. But I think it really made me think, this is what you want your life to be.
Yeah.
And these silly little things that I do along the way that sabotage me, I'm only causing pain to myself.
Yeah, and you have control to make different choices, don't you? It's really interesting how, like, how different we are and how we need to level what's right for you. Like, you are very, you love the minutiae and thinking forward and all of that. Whereas for me, like, the thought, and I think what's happened to me is a lot of death and losing my dad. I'm so fearful to overthink because of the pain I've been through. I have to live right now. And I realise that for me, sometimes that can be quite dangerous because then I get that hedonistic of, but I'm living for now. Do you know what I mean? In terms of your weight loss, that can be quite dangerous. So I think the forward planning of thinking about how you want to be and feel and your health in 5 years is really, really key. It's about finding that right balance, isn't it? Like for me, I have to visualise still being giving myself the chance to do it, still giving myself the ability to make good choices, because sometimes you feel like choices happen to you, don't you? Like, I fell into that pizza. No, Anna, you did that. You went and ordered that pizza. So again, it's a really great way, I find, visualizing to stay in control. And I think for me as a human being and a slimmer and a lot of the people I meet, control is a really important thing, isn't it? A sense of feeling out of control is really horrible, and a sense of feeling in control is really powerful, because the more in control you feel, the more in control you want to be, and it feeds. When you're out of control, I know when I felt really lost, it's like a spiral, isn't it? And you don't see where you're going. So I'm up for anything that kind of pulls you back and centres you.
Yeah, but do you not think, like, the hard bit can be, like, imagining what your life might be like, say, at your dream weight, or how you might feel or something. The thing that I have always struggled about kind of thinking forwards is almost like feeling like I deserve that life, and that admitting that I want it. Because I think I got too caught up in thinking, well, that's for other people.
You don't have that life. Yeah.
And this idea of, like, kind of saying, no, I really want that,
and
like pajamas and a family downstairs, and I want that, what comes, you know, on that letter. I want that life, I want that day to happen. And that was very difficult to kind of actually admit to myself that's what I truly wanted, because I've been spent so many years telling myself that
it
will never happen to you.
I find it
difficult. So then the idea, whether it's right not for you, but like for me to say, take this sketch pad and me to draw what it is I want my life to look like in 5 years, it like genuinely brings me to tears.
Oh, bless you.
Because I'm so caught up in
it won't happen.
No.
Yeah. But that's fear talking. That's absolute fear. And I think it's knowing, let me take you back, right? 5 years ago, young lady. Okay. Because how long have we known each other? 4 years? Coming up to. You would have never believed you're the woman you are today.
No way.
So you've got to tell yourself and respect yourself, look at the life I have achieved from the woman I met to the woman you are. And you got to understand what is that is. That's your subconscious going, not going to happen for you, Claire. It's not going to happen for you, Claire. And that's okay. Feel that emotion, because in 5 years you can look back and it will happen. You know, it's understanding that you have the control and the power to make things happen, but sometimes you have to just be. And that's a really hard thing, isn't it? Because that's a hard thing to tell yourself, that it's okay just to let things happen as well, and there are things out of my control. I don't know what to do when she cries. I don't know whether to cuddle her. I don't know whether to tell her it's going to be all right, or just not to say anything. It's so sad. It's so hard, isn't it? Another thing that strikes me, and you just said before about my life when I'm slim, like for me, I put so much into being slim. Like, if I get into this size jeans, life's going to be okay. And it's accepting for me, this was my life, that yes, life got so much better and easier, but all my dreams didn't come true because at that point I was a size 8. I just remember feeling I just was in a slimmer pair of jeans. Yes, I didn't have all the added pressure that I had when I was very, very overweight. But I think what happens to a lot of us is we think, if I get thin, life will be better. If I get thin, this will happen. If I get thin, this will happen. And it's catching yourself out about the transference of the feelings that you're putting into being slim. Because sometimes what stops us from achieving our weight loss goals is pressure. And it's understanding the pressure you're putting yourself. If I'm slim, this will happen. If I'm slim, well, actually, if you're slim and you're not having those conversations, then something won't change. Or if you're slim and you're still, you know, getting takeaways 4 times a week, you're not going to be healthy. So it's understanding that being slim is not the be all and end all, and it doesn't make the dreams come true. So catching yourself out with that emotion too.
Yeah. My mom talked about, she said that she calls it boom or bust.
I love your mum and her sayings. Chihuahua steps is something I use in my entire life. Like,
well, Chihuahua steps is, yeah, don't take dinosaur steps, because dinosaurs are extinct, but Chihuahuas aren't.
Exactly. I like her thinking. Go, Anne.
The boom or bust. I think, yeah, that's quite easy to kind of think about, isn't it? Because, yeah, you kind of like, go, 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 go.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
then you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And
fatigue.
I think it's that idea about, I don't know, maybe for me it's like drawing a picture of what I might like this Christmas to look like, rather than 5 or 10 year Christmases ahead. Do you know what I mean?
It's really interesting you talk about Christmas, because since my dad died, I used to love Christmas. I hate it. It makes me feel physically sick now. And last Christmas I made the decision, I've got to work on Christmas and I've got to find some joy in it. And it's understanding how your mind wants to protect you, but sometimes because it's protecting you, it stops the very thing that you want to happen happening, if that makes sense. So it's catching your thoughts out, and catching how actually those actions come from those thoughts. And are the thoughts the things that are making you buy the cake, or are the thoughts the things that are stopping you buying the fat-free yogurt instead of the full-fat yogurt? So I think it's just, no one knows you better than yourself, and it's catching yourself out and understanding, actually, are the things I'm doing right now taking me to the place I want to be? And if they're not, you have the absolute capacity to help steer that course, don't you?
Yeah, it's quite powerful.
Yeah.
But I suppose, even, you know, like when in group they say, right, what do you want next week?
Yeah.
And sometimes everyone's,
do you struggle with that?
Well, everyone's very quick to put a number on what they want that to be. But actually, if it was like, okay, how would we want to feel next week? I want to feel like, I'm feeling confident. I feel like I've moved forwards. I feel like I've tried something new. I feel like I've learned something. I've grown
action
a bit.
Yeah,
those kind of things, I think, because too quickly it's like, right, I want 25 pound loss in the next week.
Yeah. So I always talk to my members about weight loss targets and action targets, and do the two align. So actually, you want to lose 5 pounds, but the actions you've got in place are not going to get you that. But
true.
Also, is the want of 5 pounds something that is positive for you? Because there are many people out there who need a massive aim to go for, and they need that to go for each week. Where someone like me needs a much better action target of, actually, I want to feel in control by the end of the week. I want to know I've done my food shop, and I want to have counted all my sins. That's much better for a member who's like me, who will sabotage if there's too much pressure. But I think it's really important to concentrate on how I want to feel. Because if I don't feel how I want to feel right now, how am I going to make myself do it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, because the other day when I went for a swim, And in the showers afterwards, I was listening to these two ladies who were washing their hair next to me, and they were talking about how the scales had ruled their life for years. Oh. And one lady said she threw her scales out 10 years ago and it was the best thing she ever did. And she always goes off her clothes and where how she's kind of feeling with her clothes. And she's, the way that she spoke to sounded so free.
And that's the thing,
from the
it?
Numbers, yeah. that in a way that I'm like, how can I ever get to that place? Sign me up now.
I think it's practice. I think it's practice and deciding you want to be free and deciding that actually, if I told you right now that the number you are is 2 stone lower than you actually are and that made you happy, that tells you the number is driving you. That's, do you see what I mean?
Yep.
So it's actually recognising that that number and that wanting to be that number is taking away from my happiness. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I often think about this as I'm getting older. Do you know what? It's, I'm approaching 42, which is terrifying to say. But actually, why am I 40? I'm middle-aged.
Yeah, but we can fast forward, you know, rewind to when you were 39, crying about being 39.
But what I'm saying is, no, but what I'm saying is, it's the number that is terrifying me, not who I am. Like, I love where I my life is at. I love who I am. And actually, I could be 21 or 55, but it's what I've got in my head that this number signifies. So it's understanding, it's your emotional attachment to these numbers that are affecting you. Like, so I'm just going to tell myself I'm 21 because I'm happy to be.
I mean, you act like you're 12, to
be
honest.
12, that's a bit high. I was going for a cool 10.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you're not quite teenage. You're more like a child.
Yeah, sometimes with a teenage.
Big child.
Yeah, with some teenage strops I like to throw. But you know what? I always learned that from my dad about just feeling the joy of where you're at right now, not stressing yourself out about what you can't change and what's yet to come.
Yeah.
He was good, Mr. Kaufman.
So, yeah, he did have some wise words, didn't he?
He really, really did. And you know what? I wish I'd written them down when he was alive, because there's these little things that I can hear him saying, but I can't remember the details. So get your pen and paper out.
Yeah, but like me and loads of listeners have never met your dad, but I feel like he's got a little place in our podcast.
I know, God bless him.
And that's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, he'd love that.
His legacy lives on through the Slimming World podcast.
How ironic.
So, yeah, I'd be really intrigued whether people... Sometimes, for some people, it's like writing down lists and journaling long kind of Dear Diary posts. Other people like to draw stick men and, you know, I remember...
That's the thing they can draw.
Years and years and years ago, because I have heard about, like, visualisation of kind of thinking about where you want your life to be and the type of person. I did this way before I joined Slimming World, and I always used to do, like... three things. One was a picture of the scales with 10 stone written on. I don't know why. And then the other one was yoga was always on there, and meditation was always on there.
Wow, interesting.
And so it's weird that that has been in my psyche, that I've wanted to kind of like work on those three things for a long time. But now I kind of think, fast forwards like 10 years or whatever, those are integral parts of my life. So weirdly, the things that you kind of draw, not that I'm going to like terrify you with it, the weird things that you might draw today, they might not be something that kind of works you straight away, but years down the line, come back to this drawing, this piece of paper, whatever, and see whether just by putting it pen to paper, you commit.
I feel a bit sick.
Why?
Do you know what I've always drawn?
What?
Always drawn. What's my little girl called?
Daisy.
And I've always drawn daisies, and it was never a name I ever wanted. But if I can go back to my school books, there are hundreds and thousands of daisies all over my school books. Oh, I feel a bit, like, nervy now. What do the 3D boxes I've been drawing mean? Oh, my coffin. Oh, no. God, that's so weird. I'm literally feeling a bit hot. I've been drawing daisies since I was 5. Wow, there you go, guys. I'm going to go now draw a winning lottery ticket.
I mean, yeah, but you know what? You hear about that stuff, laws of attraction, they call it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's worth a bit of a Google-a-thon. I mean, I remember like very early on watching some of the films and the documentaries about it, where you would take a check out of your checkbook and whatever the amount.
Checkbooks.
I struggled for many years being heavily in debt. I could never see my... Pretty much since I was like 18, I've been in debt. And a few years, I finally cracked it and I paid off and cleared my debt.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable. But I remember watching these people talk about laws of attraction, where you take a checkbook and you'd write a check to yourself of the amount of debt that you have.
Oh, wow.
As if you were kind of saying to yourself, I will be able to pay this off.
Love that.
So there are, I mean, we've digressed
for ages,
honestly, but I think it is, the hardest thing is being honest with yourself about what you truly want.
Yes.
Two, giving yourself permission to admit that. Three, putting it down onto some kind of paper, whether you could type it and put it on your computer. You could make these kind of vision boards, like a collage. I've still got my vision board of 15 years ago. It's in my bedroom. And it's incredible. Right down to some of the pictures on there, I have lived in those places since I've made that vision board. So there are so many different ways, but I think it is like just like making it kind of really, what's the word? Is it visceral?
Yes, that is a word.
Where
is
you
it
bring
the
it to life.
Yes.
Yeah, you bring it to life, like what you're working towards. And sometimes I think that can be scary, because to me, I always think that fear means it matters. And the reason 100%. I find it hard and emotionally tough and upsetting is because this stuff really matters. And when you get to where it matters, that's...
Hits the nail, doesn't it?
It's the place where you're meant to be. Because too often we run away and then we just go around in circles.
Very, very true.
But the other side of fear is what you want.
Yeah. And actually, if you can break through the fear, you'll get it.
Oh, even if you don't get it, then it's like you get to the top of the mountain and then maybe there's another mountain and there's another challenge for you. And that's just life, isn't it?
Yeah. It's full of humps and bumps. Lumps. Oh, God, I've gone off on a tangent.
Hopefully not Trump's.
No, well, yeah, in my house there
depends
is.
Depends how much speed has been going on. Okay, well, look, I think that gives you plenty of things to think about. I just want to do one final comment and say that there's beautiful pink flowers in front of us and Anna's got pink toenails.
I have. And pink nails.
And pink nails. Yeah. I like the fact that you've...
And a pink handbag.
Oh, my goodness me. My mum would be proud.
And what colour's my bra?
White.
Okay. She's got a purple scrunchie.
Yeah,
there we go. We're bringing the picture to this. We'll just ignore the fact there's a pile of litter to the back...
Someone's just dropped a whole takeaway behind us. It's awful.
Right,
well, old Anna would have been eating that.
There we go. Right, well, we'll have a little draw about what we, you know, things that we might like, and then we'll share them on Instagram. But please, if you only if you want to, then and if you just want to email us and you don't want to share it, then that's fine. Whatever you feel is comfortable. Sometimes when you put pen to paper and you email it someone, it feels like you're kind of sending it to the universe, even if you're just sending it to us, is what you want. So you can take a picture, you can tag on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. You can DM us there if you want. You can email us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Even if like we can't reply to everybody, just by you kind of putting pen to paper and sending it, you know that you're kind of sending that message that this is what I want.
Love that. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
I'm just thinking about what I'm going to draw.
You can picture us waving right now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.